Välkomna till Gambit-podden. Jag heter Carl Fredrik Johansson. Idag är det lite annorlunda kanske än det har varit i de tidigare avsnitten. När jag pratar så är det mars 2024. Och för ett par dagar sedan så fick vi reda på genom nyhetsbyråer att Garry Kasparov, tidigare världsmästare i schack, nu har blivit klassad som terrorist av Vladimir Putin i Ryssland. Det är kanske många som känner igen Kasparovs namn, men för den som inte är helt bekant med honom så är han, han var världsmästare i schack i slutet på förra seklet, fram till år 2000, dominerade schackvärlden totalt. Ganska färgstark person, han var visserligen ryss men han var lite rebellisk och han spelade dessutom schack på en nivå som gjorde att det var väldigt populärt bland schackspelare och väldigt många som hade honom som sin idol. Han har efter sin karriär inte spelat lika mycket schack alls. Han är ju fortfarande väldigt duktig såklart, men han har framförallt då varit väldigt aktiv i politiken. Han bor sedan 10 år tillbaka i USA. Innan dess, han flyttade från Ryssland, så försökte han bland annat ställa upp utan framgång i presidentvalet. Men han har som exilryss väldigt mycket hållit på och försökt att få bort Vladimir Putin helt enkelt långt innan kriget mot Ukraina startade. Nu är det ju det kriget som är den största frågan som den frågan som dominerar världen, och Kasparov har varit en väldigt stark kritiker mot honom, och att han sätter eller markerar nu genom att göra Kasparov till en terrorist och enligt den ryska definitionen är egentligen inte särskilt överraskande alls. Det betyder snarare att ett kvalitetsmärke på något sätt egentligen. Det visar hur mycket Putin oroar sig över Kasparov och vad Kasparov säger och gör. För lite över ett år sedan så var Kasparov i Stockholm några dagar, och jag hade tur att få chansen att intervjua honom där. Vi snackade om väldigt mycket olika saker, om schackvärlden, och det ena med det andra. Men självklart pratade vi också en del om Rysslands krig mot Ukraina, hur Putin fungerar, varför Kasparov är så engagerad i de här frågorna. Det var inte en jättelång del av det här, men tillräckligt lång för att det skulle kunna vara intressant. Det var ett tag sedan den här intervjun gjordes, men den är förmodligen lika relevant idag att lyssna på. Så att är ni nyfikna mer på detta så håll i hatten. Nu kommer den intervjun.
You talked a lot about Ukraine and Russia. And
most important topic today, and I think that's whether you're doing banking or any other business, or you simply are interested about just global affairs. So Ukraine war now is on the top of the list, and of course I do not have just remote interest as an observer, so I can't avoid feeling some kind of guilt because I'm Russian, though I have probably most impeccable record of being in opposition to Vladimir Putin and his regime. I'm still Russian, and Ukrainians, as we speak, being killed by Russian missiles and bombs.
Yeah. Do you have anything like any idea what's going to happen now? Well, as we speak, he has to put the 300,000 more men into.
It's on paper. Let's now be objective. So it's whether he brings extra 300,000 or a million on paper. Yeah, you have to find these people, because it seems from the first response of the Russian public, there's very little enthusiasm about the war and young men, and not only young men, men who could be called for service, they're trying to run away. Mm-hmm. So it's by cars, by planes, by any means that they can find. So this turn of the event demonstrated that the stories about big support for Putin and the war, they were overrated. Yeah. But still, he can probably manage.
Could you make a prediction as you see this happening now? Is that something that my
concern is not about extra few hundred thousand people he can bring in, because even if he managed to locate them in Russia, force them into the army, and even just give them some primitive training, there are logistics. So as of now, Russians experiencing major logistical challenge in Ukraine with 200,000, roughly the number. Now you want to bring, you know, 300,000 or more, and I don't think that's the logistics are there. War is about logistics, and also, you know, you have to make sure that, you know, the whole economy now is just, you know, is rebuilt, and it seems that there's so many challenges for the economy just to support the normal life, and not, you know, just to deal with the strains of military mobilization. So I think it's using chess language, it's a kind of a gambit, and it's it will be refuted by logic, logical war. But it's not about a few extra 100,000 soldiers. It's about heavy weapons. Putin still has enough missiles and even heavier bombs that could cause terrible sufferings for Ukrainian people, mainly for civilians, and that's, you know, that's my biggest concern and fear, that being so desperate, he'll start using all means at his disposal.
You made the chess analogy, of course. It's not so strange that you do that, but I mean, you must have many chess friends in both Ukraine and Russia. Do you have any contacts with them now, or is it like...
It's not about chess friends, so I have very few friends in Russia these days. Most of my friends are outside of Russia. People who march with me on the streets of Moscow and St. Petersburg, so they are either in exile like myself or in jail like Alexei Navalny, or killed like Boris himself. So, there are a few Russian chess players who, at the beginning of the war, signed a petition against the war, and I appreciated that. But as for Ukrainians, I have many friends there, and it's not necessarily chess players.
No,
and I was on the Ukrainian side from day one of the war, which was not in 2022, but in 2014. They know that, and I do everything possible, everything just, you know, that is humanely possible to bring resources, tools, whatever Ukraine needs to survive Putin's onslaught and win the war.
But do you think this will last long? Or let's say, let's put it this way, if Putin put in this weapon that you talk about, and maybe will win the war, could he? What will happen then? Could he do that?
No, Putin cannot win the war. Now look, this is it's very clear now. This. He had his only chance to win the war as a blitzkrieg. Yeah. So he failed, and now there's no way he can win the war. The question is, you know, it's what price Ukraine will pay for her final victory, and the price could be really high. But it seems to me that Ukrainians, you know, after so much damage put to their country, both for its human cost and also infrastructure, I think they're willing to go to the very end, so to liberate their country. And we can only, you know, stand by them, so by this glorious nation. I think it's the liberation of Ukraine will be the beginning of liberation of Russia for Putin's fascism. Again, we don't know the cost of that. And I think Russia will inevitably end up in turmoil after Putin's army is being defeated and returned to Russia, and then with refugees from Eastern Ukraine or Crimea coming back, and the sanctions will have devastating effect. So my educated guess, and of course war is a war, you know, it's nobody can give exact prediction, that by the next spring, Russia will be depleted of all resources to continue the war. Putin's only bet now is a harsh winter and high energy prices and maybe some kind of political turmoil in Europe that will give an opportunity for pro-Putin forces in France, Germany, in other countries to weaken the Western alliance. It seems unlikely now. I think this Europe will definitely suffer, but not as much as Putin expected. And I think also European public is probably willing now to accept the sacrifices, because for any normal person it's clear, while we're paying with money, Ukraine is paying with blood.